Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, Text 35. Yasya ya lakshanam proktam. Pumso varna bi vyanjakam. Yat anyatrapi drisheta. Tattenaiva vinirdishat. Yasya. Of whom? Yat. Which? Lakshanam. Symptom. Proktam. Described above. Pumsa. Of a person. Varna abhi vyajanjakam. Indicating the classification. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, etc. Yat. If. Anyatra. Elsewhere. Api. Also. Drisheta. Is seen. Tat. That. Tena. By that symptom. Eva. Certainly. Vinirdeshet. One should designate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One shows the symptoms of it being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to the those symptoms of classification. Purport. Herein it is clearly stated by Narada Muni that one should not be accepted as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, according to birth. For although this is going on now, it is not accepted by the Shastras. Stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Banyamaya Shvistam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Thus the four divisions of society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, are to be ascertained according to qualities and activities. If one is born in a Brahmana family and has acquired the Brahminical qualifications, he is to be accepted as a Brahmana. Otherwise, he should be considered a Brahma Bandhu. Similarly, if a Shudra acquires the qualities of a Brahmana, although he was born in a Shudra family, he is not a Shudra because he has developed the qualities of a Brahmana. He should be accepted as a Brahmana. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to develop these Brahminical qualities, regardless of the community in which he was born. When develops the qualities of a Brahmana, he should be accepted as a Brahmana. And then may be offered the order of sannyas. And that's when it's qualified in terms of the Brahminical symptoms, one cannot take sannyas. Designating a person a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, birth is not the essential symptom. This understanding is very important. Wherein Narada Muni directly says that one may be accepted according to the caste of his birth if he has the corresponding qualifications, but otherwise he should not. One who has obtained the qualifications of a Brahmana, regardless of where he was born, should be accepted as a Brahmana. Similarly, if one has developed the qualities of Shudra or a Chandala, regardless of where he was born, he should be accepted in terms of those symptoms. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, titled Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. Yasya ya lakshanam proktam pumsam varna bi vyanjakam yad anyatrapi dusheta tattenaiva nidiradishat. If one shows the symptoms of being a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra, as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. Krishna has two main principles in Bhagavad Gita. Well, there's more than two, but two of the main principles that Krishna repeats twice in the Bhagavad Gita. Because after all, if the Bhagavad Gita is composed of 700 verses, of which all the verses in the Vedic literature are summarized, if Krishna repeats something twice, then obviously he must have thought it was extremely important. And one of the conceptions that he repeats, well, of course, many conceptions repeated more than twice, but practically word for word, is Shreyan Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustitat Shreyadharma Nidanam Shreyak Paradharmo Bhayavaha. That is better to perform one's own prescribed duty, even though it may be done imperfectly, rather than take up someone else's duty, even if you can do it perfectly. Difficulty in one's own prescribed duty or failure in one's own prescribed duty is better, because to take someone else's duty is called dangerous. Bhayavaha. So where else in Bhagavad Gita Krishna uses the word bhaya? Our Bhagavad Gita scholars here. Neha bikramana shosti pratyavaya navidite swapam apyasi dharmasya trayate bhayato bhayato no. What's that? Mayatobaya. So there's even more. Greatest danger. This is just dangerous. There is the greatest danger. The greatest danger is falling back into the lower species of life. So why do people fall into the lower species of life? We already read that if you're a completely sinful person, then you should keep on being sinful and maybe you'll get burnt out and then you'll become a little receptive to Krishna consciousness, which is probably the history of most of us. By the time you're 11 years old, you experienced everything 100 times. You're ready to quit. There's nothing left. Maybe as well try the spiritual world because you've already ran through the material world. So, why is the greatest, how does one get into the greatest danger? Because after all, Krishna is just saying, we heard in the Bhagavatam, that you can be the most sinful and keep on being sinful. And here it says, Neha Bikramash Nashosti. I'm going to tell you something that's going to free you from the greatest danger. So how does one get into the greatest danger? Our people we heard, they're so sinful, they're breaking all the principles, and yet they're encouraged to keep on being sinful. Not encouraged, but at least they're allowed. So this essential verse, we have a duty to perform. We have some occupation, and we're supposed to do it. And if we don't do it, then we get into trouble. We get a reaction for it. So imitation is what causes us to come to the material world. Everyone is trying to imitate basically Radha and Krishna and the 8,400,000 species of life. Every living entity is trying to pretend that they're Radha and Krishna. As we know, there's Romeo and Juliet. There's Tarzan and Jane as we get down to the species of life. And then we have Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse to prove that even in the mouse family there's imitation. So that imitation means that no one likes what they're doing. They want to do something else. Everyone's looking around thinking, if I could only do that, everything would be better at least. So people are caught up trying to imitate. If they have no money, they want money. And if they want money, if they have a lot of money, they want to get rid of the money. It's like Banasura. He had, by the mercy of Lord Shiva, he had 10,000 arms. Maybe it was just 1,000 arms. 10,000 would be too much. 1,000 arms. He had 1,000 arms. Therefore, he was declared the heavyweight boxing champion in the universe. Because he went up against really heavy boxers, but they couldn't block his punches. It was very hard. And he actually challenged big, big personalities in the universe to fight, and they all fled. He was so powerful that he was able to capture Aniruddha with his Nagapasha. Aniruddha was not an ordinary personality. He was the son of Krishna and Maharati. So Banasura, he had so much power, and he would go and challenge demigods, and they'd flee. But when you have lust, which is impelling us, if you can't satisfy your lust, if you want to fight, and no one wants to fight with you, then you get frustrated after a while. So he'd go to the mountains, and he'd go, he'd smash the mountains to pieces with his arms. Then he figured, well, I'm getting tired of this, probably no more mountains left, maybe I should go to Lord Shiva and challenge him. So he said, Lord Shiva, put up your dukes. Lord Shiva said, oh, you ridiculous fool. He said, don't worry, that soon your flag of victory will no longer fly. Oh, actually, soon you'll find the match who will smash your pride to pieces, and your flag of victory will no longer fly. So did Banasura become disturbed or fearful? No, he was waiting for the day. Finally, someone's going to come and smash me, and my lusty desires to fight will be smashed also. So it became a burden to Banasura to be so powerful. So he wanted to get defeated so he didn't have to worry about fighting with people anymore, especially with 10,000 arms. If you have two arms, they want to fight, it's all right. But if you have another 998, they're all itching to fight. You got a problem. And of course, Krishna came along. He challenged Krishna. Krishna cut off only 996 of his arms. So he had four left, but he was pacified. So people want to always change whatever they have. They're always trying to get a different situation. And indeed, we're always getting a different situation. Sadva narupa sarvasya shadabhaviti bharata shadamaya yo purusha yam yo yatschara seva saha. That under the most material nature, everyone has conditioning in a certain way. And when we act according to that conditioning, we get another type of conditioning. We go further into another type of condition. Generally, people are conditioned by the modes of ignorance and passion, and they're trained to work more into the modes of ignorance and passion, so they become darker ignorance. But if one can follow the rules and regulations of one's particular caste and order of life, then one can regulate the senses. Even though the senses are pushing us, we don't follow them, and therefore they gradually disappear, the urges of the senses. When we're doing something superior, then the lower modes of material nature disappear. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, that, what does he say? Raja tamas chabu bhuya sattvam bhavati bharata. Rajas sattvam tamas sattvam rajas tata. And sometimes the mode of ignorance, sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of ignorance and passion, and sometimes the mode of passion becomes prominent, defeating goodness and ignorance. And sometimes the mode of ignorance becomes prominent, defeating passion and goodness. In this way, there's always competition for supremacy. Just like if you're acting in goodness, it's very difficult in the material world to simultaneously be very passionate or to be in ignorance. Just like, for instance, we've developed a little bit of the mode of ignorance. Previously, we may have been eating in undesirable restaurants. But when we developed a little bit of the quality of goodness, even we got free tickets to go to one of these undesirable restaurants and eat there for a week, I don't think we'd even sell them. We just burn them. So there's been a change in the modes of material nature. We may not realize it, but obviously the things that we were so much attracted to before, we're less attracted to, at least now. Devotees may sneak out to go to undesirable places, but we never find them, generally speaking, sneaking out to play the horses or something, to gamble, or to go to some undesirable restaurant. Other things, maybe. Those things that we've given up some attachment for. So, if we follow the rules and regulations of a particular varna or ashram, then gradually we can become elevated, that the lower tendency at least will diminish by regulation. If we tolerate, everything is based upon toleration. Matra, sparsha, sukhandiya, shitoshna, sukhadukada. The material nature is going to push, but if we don't succumb to the push and we do something else which is better, superior, then the result is that we'll become purified. But the material nature doesn't give up so easily. It's always testing us to help us become purified by encouraging us, by helping us realize that we're not as perfect as we actually imagine ourselves to be. Everyone is walking around thinking, yeah, finally I got perfect. It was a hard struggle, but I got there. The only problem is no one else realizes it. So hopefully by education they'll realize it. They'll one day realize how wonderful I am. In the meantime, I have to be tolerant because even God comes, they think he's an ordinary person. What to speak of me? So one has learned tolerance, and if one is learning tolerance, kama, krodha, vimukta is two. Vishayan, indriyastran, atma, no, karma, krodha, vimukta is two. Kama krodha vimukta is two. Vishen, that's right. Kama krodha vimukta is two. Got the wrong verse there. Chakno diyaiva yaksho dum praksariya vimokshana. Kama krodha vidam degan vimukta chasaki nara. That one is able to chakno diyaiva yaksho dum. If one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is a yogi and he is happy in this world. So, we're actually supposed to check the force of desire and anger. Not that I'm a helpless victim, repression is very bad. Yes, repression is bad, but we should do something superior. It's not that we should just sit there and repress. I want to do it, I want to do it. They won't let me do it, but I want to do it. Prabhu, could you do this? No, I'm just so frustrated, I can't do anything. Just thinking about what I want to do and I can't do. Yeah, if that's true, then one will simply be frustrated. But if one can do something better, then one can think, well, one can forget about it. In the same way, sometimes we have a toothache. Anyone here ever have a toothache? Never had a toothache. Wow. Something to look forward to. New experience. So sometimes people have a toothache and it hurts a lot. Don't be envious. It hurts a lot. But then there's something you want to do, like, you know, when we were materialist, maybe we're watching some football game, and the game's on, you just got to watch it. I got to watch. And then you just forget about your toothache. You can't remember it. And then after the game's over, especially if your team lost, oh, my God, it hurts twice as much. So we get something higher, then we forget the lower, that's all. Therefore, some duty is given so that we can get a higher taste. And of course, in this age, since even we try to follow the Varnashram system, we'll be an utter failure. Because Brahmins in the Vedic culture were actually Brahmins. We think we get a sacred thread or something like that, then we become a Brahmin. But as Prabhupada mentions here, you're supposed to have the qualities of a Brahmin. Anyone here equally minded all the time, 24 hours a day? Nothing disturbs one. Someone can come along, punch us in the face. We say, oh, here, even it out. Equi-minded, sense and mind control. We eat exactly what we need to survive. Not a peanut more than that. We have complete control over our senses and mind. My mind never wanders from Krishna. As soon as it wanders from Krishna, boom! Immediately comes back. That's only very rarely, though. So we're supposed to try. We're trying to acquire the qualities of Brahman. Not that I got my sacred thread. Just like in India, you take a rickshaw ride. I remember taking a rickshaw ride one time, and at the end, of course, if you've ever been to India, especially Vrindavan, they always ask you for a little extra. Although they ripped you off because of your skin color, charged you twice as much as if you were an Indian, but because you have white, you're a white, you get the privilege of giving them twice as much for the rickshaw ride. And at the end he says, Brahmin Dakshin, I'm a Brahmin, give me some Dakshin. He's a rickshaw waller. He's driving a rickshaw, but he's a Brahmin. And he takes out his tea, and he takes out his sacred thread, which we probably never washed since he got received it. It's Brahma Dakshin. So there's no question of developing the qualities of a Brahmin or the occupation of a Brahmin. People are just imagining that there's something that they're not. And even our society, sometimes we walk around and we think, yeah, I'm a Brahmin. Yeah, right. So, my dear Brahmin, maybe you should wash your hands before you eat. Oh, come on, it's the sink so far away. Give me a break. I've been working hard. All right, finally, you know, we got you washing your hands before you eat. Well, maybe you should wash them after. Afterwards, I have half my prasadam on my hand. How can I, you know, I'm hungry. I may want to eat later. So we're imagining that we've acquired something. We have the opportunity to develop the qualities, and we should do our service in such a way as to help us develop the qualities. But to think simply because I have some position, they call me Prabhu, so yes, I'm the master. Finally, I was in the material world, everyone was kicking me around like a can. And I joined the Hare Krishna movement. And suddenly everyone's calling me Prabhu. Yeah, more and more. That's right, I'm Prabhu. Soon I'll be a Swami or something. You know, Swami, oh, yes, that's right. Bow down, mister. Yeah, stay there for a while. Rather than thinking that we're just an instrument for Krishna and that we have to acquire these qualities to the best we can, that I myself am in a fallen position. Just like after Prabhupada left and we had our 11 acharyas. Somehow or another they thought that there were 11 acharyas. And they had this idea that simply by becoming a spiritual master, they had become uttama adhikaris. Which would be, you know, nice if it was possible. You find some poor soul and say, can I give you initiation? I want to become an Uttamadhikar. I just transcend everything. And even my friends, who was one of the acharyas, so-called acharyas at that time, he came up to me one time, and he said, isn't it wonderful, now that I'm a spiritual master, I have all 8 mystic powers. I said, really? I should have said, really, couldn't give me a samosa. You have 8 mystic powers. You're good for something. Just get manifest a samosa. Prapti Siddhi, So this imagination is there. Well, just like Sanatana Goswami, he was imprisoned by the Nawab Hussein Shah because he refused to go with him to Bengal and try to overthrow King Prataparudra and ransack Jagannath Puri. So the Nawab arrested him. Of course, Sanatana Goswami was also, he was studying the Bhagavatam. He was preparing to leave anyhow. So the Nawab arrested him. And he was in prison. So Rupa Goswami, who was very wealthy, left a deposit of gold coins with a local grocer so to get Sanatana Goswami free. So he's trying to bargain with his jailkeeper. At that time, they didn't have elaborate prisons. They just killed everyone who didn't like you. They just killed you. Didn't have saved the expenses from trying to feed you. So Sanatana Goswami was in prison. And generally speaking, what they did is they put a ball chain, a metal ball on your leg so you couldn't escape. If you're walking along and someone says, hey, where did you get that metal chain? I got a gold earring and I got, something for my wrist and, I thought it had something to my leg too. Paint a big smiley face on the ball.
You like it?
I can get you one too. No, Sanatana Goswami said, I'll give you so many hundreds of gold coins if you release me. The jailer said, well, no, if I release you, the Nawab may get angry at me. I might even get killed by him or put into prison. So Sanatana Goswami said, well, you're a learned person. You've read the scriptures. And he said, yeah, of course I've read the scriptures. Of course he never read it, didn't even know how to read a book. He said, since you're a learned person, great learned person, that one who releases a prisoner or releases a man from the modes of material nature goes back to Godhead, right? He said, of course I know that. Of course I've read all the scriptures. So he said, I'll give you, 10,000 gold coins and you'll get released, you'll go back to Godhead. And just tell the Nawab that Sanatana Goswami was passing stool when he went to bathe. In the ocean, he threw the ball into the ocean and drowned. Besides that, I'm on my way to Mecca, and you'll never see me again anyhow. So he said, yeah, okay, I'll get liberated, I'll get all these gold coins, good deal. So he cut off Sanatana Goswami's chain. In other words, the man was completely uneducated, never went to school, didn't know how to read, didn't even probably never touched a book in his life. But as soon as someone put him in a position of great exaltation, they immediately accepted it as true. So that's the nature of illusion. Everyone's accepting their material identity with his body as true because they think it's something special. It's worthwhile. No one thinks, oh my God, I accepted this horrible body as my identity and now I'm suffering so much, maybe I should give it up. No. Everyone's taking shelter of this identity thinking, I'm having a great time here. I just want to make it greater, that's all. Although it's completely false, it has nothing to do with ourselves. So we accepted one false identity, and we're prepared to accept so many other false identities if we think it's going to improve my position here. But if we accept our real identity according to the modes of nature we're actually situated under, then we can actually make some progress. And that's what's prescribed here. So I'll stop here. Any questions, comments?
If somebody punch Brahmanas in the face, they just don't fight back.
Well, if they know how to fight, they probably fight back. Take some training, though. No, this idea. Of course, someone punches in the face, either you run or you try to knock the guy out before he punches you again. Because this is Krishna's body. We have to protect Krishna's body. Now we just get angry. But we should think it's Krishna's body. It should be protected. Or else we should run, which is probably the better thing. Because... So that's what everyone learned, but I think it's late anyhow. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.